Today we're going to acknowledge our veterans, celebrate Veterans Day by talking to a veteran. He's achieved a lot of other accolades, well-deserved honors as well, but you can tell he's a Navy man. He's a sailor, Lonnie Bell. Yeah. Yeah, the one pretty well known in these parts, Lonnie Bell, an entertainer, Hall of Fame disc jockey, tied to America's country roots like few in his profession. Before all that, Lonnie Bell was a sailor. And on Veterans Day today, we will share some stories from Lonnie Bell here on Voices of Montana.
It's time for the fastest hour in radio. From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz. Call in today at 866-627-5483 or text a comment or question to 781-627-5483. Now here's your host, Tom Schultz.
I mean, what's it like to be a teenager in the Pacific Theater in the 40s with war raging? What's it like to be headed to Pearl Harbor a day or so after the attack on the naval base? Man, just getting there from where he was stationed in Newfoundland for Lonnie Bell, that's a story in and of itself. And we'll jump into it today. Welcome here to Voices of Montana. It's from Montana for Montana for 22 years, two decades. We're thankful for that and having that opportunity to be a part of your Montana mornings. Two decades strong, working on three, as I say. And happy Veterans Day to all. It's a well-declared day because it's right to honor our veterans, our defenders, really. Thank you for that service. Everyone who put on a uniform became a defender, our defender personally, and the defender of our beliefs. And where I think America has really shined is in the fight against oppression around the world. So thank you. Thank you for your service. And thank you for continuing to serve, too, because I know a lot of veterans do that. We'll talk about veterans issues. We do about it on the show here. We learn a lot from the many good folks that we chat with. They're engaged with veteran services. Did that earlier this week. But we always enjoy talking to veterans to hear them tell of their experiences as our defenders in battle. Lonnie Bell was ready to talk when I chatted with him yesterday. I went to record this interview. I could see that he was, as he talked about this, remembering the people and remembering the boats and the planes and the conversations. And I thought, you know, even though it's war, I think soldiers would say that it's good to remember, to see those faces in your mind, how you remember those people. And I could see that Lonnie was connecting with some of those friends again by talking about them yesterday, and I certainly did appreciate that. So we're going to hear various stories about the dangers of the North Atlantic, even during World War II, about submarine encounters, about lost friends, lost ships, lost aircraft. And we'll also hear about how a song about World War II's Battle of the Midway was written for a Vietnam veteran who stood up to say, "Why can't we be welcomed home?" I was welcomed into Lonnie Bell's home yesterday in Billings. We both used face masks and appropriate distancing. It was 80 years ago this month, actually, that Lonnie Bell enlisted in the Navy. Think about that. 80 years ago this month, he enlisted in the Navy and served in that branch for 20 years. He doesn't like to talk about it a whole lot in terms of the math, but when you do the math, he was actually only 16 when he went into the military. A year later, he was on his way to Pearl Harbor. Let's get this first cut here going for Lonnie Bell.
But on the sixth day of December 1941, we'd been in the North Atlantic for about a year at that time. And I was aboard the USS Pocomoke. It was an aircraft carrier, not carrier, a tender. And I'd been over on the beach all day long. I was an aviation machinist, played first class, or third class at that time. And I finally, when it was getting dark, well, I came back on the whaleboat and come back aboard ship. And my buddy met me at the top of the gangway, and he said, "They're bombing Pearl Harbor." And I said, "Where's Pearl Harbor?" He said, "It's in Honolulu." I said, "Oh, yeah, I've heard my brother talk about it." Well, you know, he said, "Yeah." He said, I said, "Well, that's nothing." He said, "Oh, yeah, it is." He said, "They've sunk some, two or three battleships." He said, "The radio's on down in the mess hall." So we run down to the mess hall and had a big old radio in the mess hall. And they had it all on there. And the first thing I heard on that radio was that the West Virginia was on fire and the Oklahoma had sunk. And that was the first report I got. Well, the next morning, our executive officer, Mr. Nichols, Lieutenant Nichols, he said, okay, fellas, I want you to get your insurance straightened out. He said, because we're going to Pearl Harbor today at noon. So anyway, that was the first big thing. And I turned around and I said, so we're at war. And this one old boatswain, he said to me, he said, don't worry about it, kid. He said, you may go through the whole war without getting hurt. I said, I intend to.
Lonnie Bell, we got to take a quick break up here and then we'll come on back because there's lots to share from this gentleman who served in the Navy for 20 years. And as you heard, in the Pacific Theater as well as the North Atlantic. So back with more here from Lonnie Bell on Veterans Day from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana. Today we're acknowledging our veterans by telling the story of one we know pretty well. That's a gentleman named Lonnie Bell. He's in the Country Music Disc Jockey Hall of Fame. His story is told in a book called Sliding Along with Lonnie Bell, which is co-authored by family friend Harold Hollingsworth. And that tells the story of all really the country music giants that Lonnie would rub shoulders with, how he actually discovered Loretta Lynn, how he helped launch her career. He was the first disc jockey in Hawaii to introduce Elvis to the island. That's an interesting story in the book as well. Charlie Pride, Mel Tillis, Dolly, a lot of names that Lonnie knows and grew up with. He was born in 1924 in West Virginia in coal miner territory. And it's credited in 1927 that country music itself was born in the Appalachian Mountains in Bristol, Tennessee, when the Victor Talking Machine Company, that's what it says here in capitals, came out to the area to record the very earliest music of Jimmy Rogers and the Carter family. Lonnie Bell was singing and playing those same songs when he was 10 years old, and he sang and played his way through the Navy as well. It'll help to know that when the bombing happened in Pearl Harbor, World War II was raging on, even stationed 3,700 miles to the northeast. And this is as the jet flies in Argentia, Newfoundland. There were dangers in the water and in the air there as well. Lonnie Bell and his friends were serving as part of what they call VP-72. It had different numbers. VP were actually the Maritime Patrol Squadrons of the U.S. Navy. And they were made up of seaplanes mostly, the PBYs, PBY, or as he'll say, the Catalina flying boats. And not a lot of speed, but a great deal of distance. And they were the widely used seaplanes of World War II. So let's pick up the story back on the East Coast, where it's but a few days that America was rocked by the attack in Pearl Harbor, and Lonnie Bell was on his way from Newfoundland to Hawaii.
Gosh almighty, first thing you know, it's a December the 11th. And over the loudspeaker, it said Germany and Italy just declared war on the United States. And here I am, and they're sinking ships left and right all around us. Submarines in the North Atlantic were. They were just sinking them left and right. So we were zigzagging. Anybody that's ever been aboard ship in the wartime knows about zigzagging. So we were zigzagging back and forth to keep the torpedoes off us. And to say that we were scared is absolutely underrated. We were never scared so bad in my life because we passed a freighter going north, and we could still see the light from the fire where we were sinking behind us. They were that close to us.
Getting from Newfoundland to Pearl Harbor was among the most eventful periods of the war for Lonnie Bell. U-boats, as you heard, in the North Atlantic, and then Japanese submarines in the South Pacific.
We'd already been almost torpedoed on the ship that came out of Honolulu. We was outside of Pearl Harbor. I mean, you could still see Diamondhead. And a submarine, Japanese submarine, threw a torpedo at us and just barely missed us. And I was sitting on the bow getting a haircut. and an SPD went across the top of us and sunk it. Boy, when that SPD, when that depth charge went off, every one of them soldiers come out of that hole, and they'd been down there for a week and nobody had seen them. They didn't only come alive, they jumped up to the deck when they get to the top, you know. Where you guys been for 8 days? Oh, I'm in seasick, you know. Did you hear this thing rattle? I said, yeah, it rattled. Rattled when the SPD hit it, see. That's the plane that won the Battle of Midway.
the Battle of the Midway. We'll talk about that here in just a little bit. To catch you up on that, this is when Lonnie was on the President Johnson. There were about 800 soldiers and sailors on, and they were just actually kind of pulling into Pearl Harbor there. He tells the story in his book here that the Japanese were after the soldiers. On the second pass, the SBDs hit the nearby Japanese sub about 500 yards off the starboard side with a depth charge, and one half of the submarine raised one end out of the water. It was plainly visible from the deck of the Johnson that the SBD had protected that ship. We can talk about the SBD here in more detail. I want to finish up here, too. Again, this is from Sliding Along with Lonnie Bell, a book that was co-authored by family friend Harold Hollingsworth. It's not entirely a war. In fact, it's just the first few chapters of the beginning of it, because that was the beginning of Lonnie's life. And as I mentioned, you can talk to the gentleman and you'll understand he is a Navy guy, served for 20 years. Let me talk a little bit about those U-boats, because the North Sea at the time, and this was Lonnie's writing here, was absolutely swamped with German submarines. My brother-in-law spent his whole military service as an anti-aircraft gunner in the area and in the Atlantic, and I don't know how he ever survived. There were a lot of ships sunk in the Atlantic. There were ships carrying supplies for England and troops from the USA and Canada. It was supplies for North Africa, Italy, Sicily. That was the Battle of the North Atlantic, and for history buffs, you should read that. It was very interesting, and Lonnie was a part of that prior to heading to Pearl Harbor. We'll come on back and talk more with Lonnie Bell here on Veterans Day on Voices of Montana. World War II is the focus here today as we celebrate Veterans Day. And again, thank you for your service. A lot of people served in World War II. Well, 16 million is the sort of unofficial count there, and a lot of people lost their lives, a total of 407,000 U.S. soldiers, and this includes Army and Air Force, Navy, the Marines, the Coast Guard, and wounded 67,100 and some, and all of those guys, thank you. It's a debt that we can't repay for that kind of service, but today, and it's right that we continue to honor. We're honoring it by talking with Lonnie Bell. So we get right back to the war here. As we caught up with Lonnie yesterday, he talked right out about his experiences. And I think you can really tell he's a veteran and a career military guy, because he remembers the names of his comrades, which a lot of veterans do. But the ships he sailed on, the ships he even flew over, the Lexington, the Tangier, the Griffin, it's all over his book. He even remembers the numbers on the planes that he flew in and helped keep flying. And aviation back in the 40s, let's just say there were unexplained accidents and disappearances that were of concern for Lonnie Bell and others.
At that time, we had 12 planes to go in the spring of 41, and they lost number 12 in North Atlantic. It disappeared, crew and all. And it did that for the rest of the war. Planes. One morning, VP-44 lost five one morning like that. But we'd fly 12 hours today and rest tomorrow and fly another 12 hours. We'd go out, we'd fly out 6 hours and fly back 6 hours, because we could make 1,200 miles. We had twin-engine planes, our 1830-92 Pratt & Whitney's. We cooked usually two meals, and we took turns cooking. So I'm 17 years old, so you can imagine. I didn't even know how to warm bread. But the older guys, they took us. They was good to us, you know. And it seemed like that once the war got going, the senior people were a lot better to us than they were earlier in training and everything, you know, because we'd become one of them by that time. And, of course, some of those boys will remain in my life, mine forever. They was like brothers. And it was some of them killed. And when we come into Pearl Harbor, Oklahoma was upside down, and the Arizona, of course, was right where it's at today. I have a muster list of all the guys that's on the Arizona, and who they were and what they were and what their ranks was. And it was 1,100 of them. Here's something that nobody ever says about the Arizona. The Arizona had 24 sets of twins, brothers, and a father and son. And it had everything from an admiral to a seaman to an apprentice seaman aboard, all the ranks and ranks. See, they carried around 2,000 people. That's why there's over 1,100 of them still aboard. And they're still aboard as we speak. They say that what happened was the divers was diving down there, and it was such a mess. It blew up, see. And so they couldn't find nobody, and they was having sharp jags and all that, and they'd lost two divers. So Admiral Nimitz said, they said, Admiral, we can't find we can't find none of them bodies. They're all down there. We've already lost two. And Admiral said, you lost two? You lost two men? Oh, you seal that thing off, he said. We ain't gonna lose it. The Navy ain't gonna dive for bodies again. So the Navy never did dive. The Navy won't dive for bodies. Now that they might today. I'm talking 60 years ago.
Yeah, that's a while ago for Lonnie Bell. In his mid-90s now, as we are talking about his service and celebrating all veterans through that. I want to come on back and talk about moving from Hawaii to a place in the South Pacific, New Caledonia, and also other remembrances from Lonnie Bell here in just a little bit. He was also part of the Berlin Airlift. And if we have time on the other side of these headlines, it looks like we might, we'll get to that. So we'll come on back and hear more from Lonnie Bell here today on Veterans Day after these headlines from Brian Bennett.
Montana's governor-elect Greg Gianforte has released who will be on his COVID-19 task force, which will work with local and state public health officials to provide recommendations on how the state can respond to the pandemic. After a lull through June, case growth has spiked through the fall and into the early winter. Montana State University has been selected to lead a two-year study about the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic on nurses, the largest group of U.S. healthcare workers. The report will be completed by 2022, but key results will be shared in quarterly reports. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services has sent a team of healthcare workers to help support Billings Clinic and St. Vincent Healthcare in Billings as COVID-19 cases increase in Yellowstone County. The team of 29 includes medical professionals and administrative and safety officers. With Montana News headlines, I'm Brian Bennett.
All right, I can't talk about Lonnie Bell without talking about Marty as well, his wife. On January 2nd, they'll celebrate 56 years married. Congratulations to the both of you. I can tell they're still lovebirds. That's always great to be chatting with people who, even after 56 years upcoming, are still in love, are still partners throughout it all. So, Marty, thank you for your help, and Lonnie Bell, thank you for letting me into your home yesterday. As again, I mentioned, we were wearing masks and we were appropriately distanced as we recorded this interview. Lonnie Bell, who served in World War II, as I mentioned, a Navy guy for 20 years, and it's kind of interesting that it was this month, 80 years ago, that he started his career there. We'll pick up this story now as he has arrived in Pearl Harbor and had been doing patrols. And it wasn't too long after that there were other areas of concern that he was called to in the South Pacific.
So in February, they said, okay, all you seagoing guys, pack your gear. And they said, you know who you are. And so I said, oh, God, and me and Felty and Paul Walter, you know, and our buddies, all buddies, Ashlock and Bailey and Clark. And so we got all here together. And I said, where are we going? Oh, they ain't telling us where we're going. We're just taking off. But we're moving. Bring everything you got. So we took five PBYs, Catalina flying boats. Not five A's. These are fives. Mm-hmm. For no gear. Five A's are amphibian. We got Atlanta gear. But, okay. But I want to tell you about the crash back first. We had lost one plane, they were all buddies of mine, and we were playing poker all night. And I got up for the poker and went upstairs and went to bed. They got on the plane and flew to the side of the mountain. Just that, I could see them yet. God bless them. That was two of the finest officers, young officers. It was two Pickens and Nannis. They had all the green suits on. They were the training pilots. They was on there. Lieutenant Fisher was flying it. And then we had an enlisted pilot on there, too. Then we had Houston and Mast, and they all got killed, but Pretzer. Pretzer got off. They all went aside. And it was number six. That's the plane I flew on in the North Atlantic. And I've got a picture of number six that I took out of a magazine here. I show it to my kids, and I say, now, this plane here, you see this magazine? This is PBY magazine, you know. And I said, see that plane right there? I said, that plane there is the plane I flew. Oh, that's the same type. No, that's it. That was, I flew patrol in that plane. So it said 72 Prep 6 on the side of it. And, that, and I flew that North Atlantic. And Crew 10 was the one that lost their life in it when it hit the side of the mountain.
Interesting to hear Lonnie talk about those planes. He sees the number. He goes, I flew. It was that plane, that exact plane. And that's why I say you can tell he is very much a military guy, and that's where his career starts. He certainly had a full career as a country music disc jockey, inducted into that Hall of Fame in 2005. He also did a show here in our area called Lonnie Bell's Classic Country. I think they started that in 1985 along with Ed McIntosh, and Ed continues to do that now. Lonnie, as I mentioned, was in his mid-90s and still very spry and still remembers all of this like it was just yesterday. I got to take a moment here to talk about the Berlin Airlift. In fact, I'm going to run out of time here if I don't get right to the cut, but this was after World War II. The Allies partitioned off Germany, including Berlin. The Soviets wanted to sort of force out the French and the Americans and the British, who had also been occupying Germany at the time. And so what they did was essentially cut off Berlin from all supplies. Interesting that they were just allies, and now there's conflict there. The Americans, along with others, carried for more than a year supplies to Berlin. 2.3 million tons of cargo eventually dropped into West Berlin.
We dropped off, we had 1,500 gallons of gas, and we had 2,000 pounds of coal. 2,000 pounds. Each plane carried 2,000 pounds. And you flew up there and back. And it took about 3.5 hours to fly up there and back. But the thing was, you were so tight together that when you got to Tempelhof, if you didn't land, you had to go back up and go back to Franklin to land. We had a chain of planes all the way. They put a couple of million tons of stuff in there. That was one of the first things that the Air Force did, and they allowed two Navy squadrons to go with them. And of course, it's me. There we were, and we had 300 guys in each squadron, VR6 and VR8, and I was in VR8, and I had a charge of a crew by that time. I had a crew on. I was my first class petty officer now, and so. So we stayed there 5 months, and I come back to Honolulu in 49 and stayed 5 more years in Honolulu. Yeah.
Lonnie Bell. We'll continue with Lonnie Bell here on our Veterans Day salute to a veteran here on Voices of Montana. So back with more from Montana for Montana in just a bit.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
The fastest hour in Montana radio continues. Call 1-866-627-5483 and join Montana's statewide radio talk show, Voices of Montana, with Tom Schultz.
Sharing some history today, celebrating our veterans. Happy Veterans Day to you. Thank you all for your service. We are talking with Montana's Lonnie Bell today. Actually, it's by tape. Caught up with him yesterday a World War II veteran, a Navy guy, career Navy guy for 20 years. His service actually ended several years ago because it began 80 years ago. So 60 years ago is when he was retired from the Navy. Certainly didn't retire from a lot of activity because he's well known. He, as I mentioned, the Country Music Disc Jockey Hall of Fame. He was inducted into that in 2005, launched the career of Loretta Lynn. He's well known for that and rubbed shoulders with a lot of country music giants. And it's interesting, as a guy who was a broadcaster, and he began his broadcasting career in Hawaii as he was serving there. He worked part-time as a disc jockey there, and then I think it was 1960, he, as he got out of the military, moved to a full-time radio career. Eventually ended up here in Billings, Montana in 1964, and just kept going. That Lonnie Bell's Classic Country continues on our sister station, KGHL, which is an affiliate of Voices of Montana. That started in 1985. Lonnie came in Sunday mornings. It's 8 a.m. to noon. And did that for years and years. It was just but a few years ago that he kind of officially retired, but his partner Ed McIntosh continues that program and has continued to be called Lonnie Bell's Classic Country on Sunday mornings. So well known, and as I said, very much a veteran. You can tell when he talks about his comrades, when he talks about the ships that he was on and their payloads and things like that. Very much a veteran guy. We're going to pick this story up now as an entertainer and a songwriter. There's a CD that that they do play on our sister station from time to time. And this Lonnie Bell studio is right next door to us, too. So very much a loved figure around these parts. He was an entertainer, and he wrote a song called The Midway. And I'll just let him tell the story about how it came about.
But the people that were the best generation was our parents. They built the aircraft. The Rats was where Rosie the Riveter was. Those are the people. My dad, bless his heart, he said, I've eaten so many beans, I can't believe it. He had to have stamps to get meat. A single man only got 4 gallons of gas a week. Anybody that remembers it well, that's for sure. Well, anyway, I was in the Royal Wire that day, and they come and told me that they had this Midway had sunk. They had a bunch of heroes out there, they said. So I never thought no more about it, but I thought. And one day I was here in Billings, and I found this book about the Battle of Midway, and I read about it. And there was some Air Force planes in it, too, you know. So I thought, I mean, I knew all about it. I learned from other guys. VP-44 was out there. VP-72 had 3 planes out there. But that was, I was in crew, too. Anyway, so I thought, I will write a song about Midway. And I did. And the reason I wrote that song is I was sitting in my home, me and Marty here, and the guys from Vietnam was having all kinds of trouble. They was just stomping the devil out of them, you know. They kicking them and mistreating them and everything else. And so they was having a talk show, and they was talking about and this one. Petty officer. He got. I don't know. I think he was a sergeant. He got mad. He jumped up and he says. He said, "All we want," he said, "is to take our place with the World War II veterans." He said, "That's all we want." He said, "We just want to be treated like the World War II veterans are." And so I said to myself, "Well, that guy writes a song." So I wrote, I don't know who he was. He was on national TV. But I wrote Midway in honor of him. And it goes, "Oh, I will share my glory. I know what you have done. Although my fighting ended, the day your war begun. So hold your head up high, young man. We salute you proud and true. And take your place beside us, because we never doubted you. From the Hornet come Torpedo 8 in 1391, came from the Isle of Midway to meet the rising sun." That had Jim Murray on it, who was from Rosebud County. Jim Murray. And Jim Murray was 23 years old that morning, and he was flying a B-26, and he flew that plane out there in that battle. Flew it back to Midway and landed it, and they counted 500 bullet holes in it, and Jim was still going strong.
"Oh, I will share my glory. I know what you have done. Although my fighting ended before your war begun. So hold your head up high, young man. We salute you proud and true. And take your place beside us, cause we never doubted you. Surprise and confusion and words of disbelief spread to the shores around the world of Honolulu's grief. They'd sunk the Arizona and Pearl Harbor was afire. Rashida caught a high wind and was gone within the hour. Now the Enterprise in Yorktown were at sea that fateful day. But they would find Rashida in the month that followed May. When a PBY, the flying boat, set many flames ahead. Nimitz knew he had been right in the message he had read. From the Hornet came Torpedo 8 in 1391. Came from the Isle of Midway to meet the rising sun. They would fight the Japanese close down to the sea and leave the flight deck open for the mighty SBD. From 3 miles up straight down they came, a spitting fire and flame. The targets were made lifeless by those mighty men in flames. But some would fall into the sea as the gasoline ran low. For the Yorktown had gone under and there was no place to go. Now this was just one battle in the days of coming back. Years of fighting yet remained in the fire and the flak. We finally quit in 45 and thought we had it done. Had to help Korea and then go to Vietnam. So I will share my glory, for I know what you have done. Although my fighting ended before your war begun. Hold your head up high, young man, we salute you proud and true. Take your place beside us, 'cause we never doubted you.
Nice tribute from Lonnie Bell to our Vietnam veterans. The song is called The Midway. You heard him reference before that a pilot named Jim Murray, who's well known in the Billings area. They came from eastern Montana. He was an Army Air Force pilot, and he is the focus of a book which relates the event regarding Midway. The book is called Midway Bravery, the story of the U.S. Army pilot whose famed flight helped win a decisive World War II battle. And it was written by Dennis Gobb. And surprising that both Lonnie Bell and Jim Murray, who fought in this war and not too far from each other and know very well about each other, kind of just ended up in the same area here in eastern Montana. It was a very daring mission, and I don't have time to go into it, but might do that at some point down the road. Midway Bravery, I think it was a story worth sharing as well. We'll come on back and share Lonnie's final thoughts here about how America is treating her veterans as we conclude on Veterans Day. Welcome back, and again, happy Veterans Day. Thank you all for your service and appreciate the continuing service. I know a lot of veterans, as we talk about issues here today, we're just talking with a veteran, Lonnie Bell, but we talk about a lot of veterans' issues here and speak to folks who are engaged in helping veterans, and a lot of them are veterans themselves, and I certainly appreciate that continuing spirit of service. So thank you for that. Picking this back up with Lonnie Bell, I guess I just wanted to play a little bit of this song that Lonnie Bell used to play. Now, as I said, career Navy guy, then entered full-time radio in 1960 when he retired from the Navy. He came to Billings in 1964 and eventually started working for our sister station, KGHL. I believe that was, well, he launched the Lonnie Bell's Country Classic in 1985, but he'd been a part of our family here at the Northern Broadcasting System for quite a long time. On Veterans Day, he would always play this song, he said, and so I'm going to play a little bit of it. It's Elton Britt, There's a Star-Spangled Banner Waving Somewhere.
There's a star-spangled banner waving somewhere in a distant land so many miles away. Only Uncle Sam's great heroes get to go there, where I wish that I could also live someday.
That was for you, Lonnie. Thank you for that. And thank you for allowing me into your home to chat with you regarding Veterans Day. And shared some thoughts. Lonnie shared some thoughts with us on how America is treating its veterans.
I've always felt that we rate a lot more than we actually get. We rate more. That's a military term. What you rate, you don't rate. But World War II had a lot of people in it. I mean, you stop and think. When World War II ended, there was almost 15 million people in uniform. That was when World War II ended. And I think that, and I like I said earlier about our mothers and fathers, you know, being the ones that they built us a Ramada and we took the world with it. You know, they did it, not us. But the veteran people. When you got that many people in one category, you run into all kinds of things. The first thing you do, you run into a big long line. Here you are standing in line. The average veteran doesn't like to stand in line. That's one thing. We stood in line for everything. I remember. At 4 o'clock in the morning, when it was raining and still dark, we're marching down to breakfast. You know. Now the women we had, the Waves, they were great. They're great people, and all the girls did a good job. Always did a good job. All the girls. I never saw one yet that wasn't good. You know. But like I say, I think that the average citizen in America today, he keeps the veterans in the back of his mind all the time. They know, you know, and I think that they seem to be getting better. The older you get, the better they get to you. George Burns said that when you pass 90, you get a standing ovation just for walking on. So, like I say, I think that they're doing better by them, and they're going to do a lot more better than that, you know.
Lonnie Bell, thank you so much, Lonnie, for that, for Veterans Day, for your service as well, and thanks to all the veterans. There's a story that I didn't really get to tell, and maybe we'll have a chance to visit with Lonnie down the road as well. As I mentioned, the book that I got a lot of this from was called Sliding Along with Lonnie Bell, and you can still get copies of that. It was a co-written by a family friend, Harold Hollingsworth, and it contains just a ton of great stories. I wanted to tell one because I got a call from a gal named Deborah who heard me say on Monday that Lonnie Bell was going to be on, and she was excited about that and wanted to talk about the March of Dimes rides that Lonnie had initiated, and this was in 1965 when he was working at KGHL. It lasted until 1980. Got to mention the name of the horse, Tom Thumb. What he would do was raise money for the March of Dimes by just riding, and this was in January, from Reed Point to Billings. That's a trek of 54 miles, would do it in one day, and some days they were very cold. That first year, he raised $1,300 and then thousands more as the ride became a yearly event for Lonnie and Tom Thumb. And again, as I mentioned, they rode and raised money until 1980, so... Again, my thanks to Marty, Lonnie's wife, and Marty and Lonnie Bell. And again, one more time, thank you all for your service. It's invaluable.
You've been listening to Voices of Montana. Comments and opinions heard are those of the host or callers, and not necessarily those of this station, sponsors, or Northern News Network. Join us Monday through Friday at 9:06 for Voices of Montana.